It's Thursday, the 24th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Chris Bosch and Miles Turner. Fantasy Basketball Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and TBoss 11. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like TBoss 11, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the podcast. Thank you to TBoss this season. Of course, Moneyball has been a great support as well, sponsoring the podcast all season. They are Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, so if you're living in Australia, Moneyball is the way to go, so make sure you're checking those guys out. You can, of course, download this podcast wherever you find good podcasts and even bad podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those sort of places. You can also watch along on YouTube, and you can watch live. This podcast is streamed out live on YouTube every day. And if you are watching live and want to interact with the show as we're going along, tweet at me at redrock_bball. Use the hashtag RRFB, Red Rock Fantasy Basketball. And we'll engage in some discussion as the show goes on. But we got a lot of other stuff to talk about as well. There were 12 games on Wednesday. We're thick in the middle of playoffs. We've got games for Thursday. So
let's get to it.
All right, let's start with the Instagram contest of the day. Al Horford combined points, rebounds, steals, and blocks. It was not a big night for Horford. He only had 16. No one got that correct. On Facebook, we were looking at Taj Gibson. He was also quiet. We're looking for his combined points, rebounds, and blocks, and he had 13. No one got that. So let's try again on Thursday. On Instagram. That's right. Bojan Bogdanovic. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists will Bojan get? And on Facebook, we're looking at Rod Hood. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists will Rod get? Let's move straight into the monstrous line of the night. And it's the same as yesterday. You can see his jersey hanging up behind me if you're watching on YouTube again. And that is Jim Harden of the Houston Rockets. Another big game from Harden. Another disappointing defeat for the Rockets. Harden played 42 minutes, 26 points, including 2 triples, 7 rebounds, 10 assists, 8 steals. He went 8 of 19 from the field. He went 8 of 9 from the line. That 8 steals is huge. That is an absolute playoff matchup. Turner, 8 steals. To get 8 steals, normally that's like 8 guys' normal production. That's such a big, big amount. If you can hit, and we'll talk about another guy later on who could possibly have turned a category with his performances on Wednesday, but 8 steals is a massive category turner. You could really have swung that from losing to winning based just on Harden's performance. I talked plenty about Harden yesterday. One thing I didn't mention is over the last 2 weeks, he's the number one fantasy player, better than Steph Curry. Over the last 2 weeks, he is playing an absolute shitload of minutes this season. The minutes are getting up and up. He's averaging 40 minutes a game over the last month. The Rockets need him to play. They need him to play big minutes. He is, at the moment, pretty much an Iron Man. He plays through everything. He's going to have to continue to do everything to try and keep this team in the playoffs. It's a really terrible loss for them today against the Jazz. Not only does it make them lose, it makes their opponent, the Jazz, win, and then the Jazz move up ahead of them in the standings and into the playoff picture. So the Rockets were really disappointed with that one, and interesting to see what happens with them the rest of the season. But Harden's going to continue to play big minutes, and he's going to continue to put up big lines on a pretty regular basis, I would have thought. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Dennis Schroeder of the Atlanta Hawks. Now, Schroeder played 20 minutes here. He had 23 points on just 9 shot attempts, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, and 1 3. That is a brilliant line, and you could expect that sort of line out of someone who plays 32 minutes. The problem with Schroeder is that, yes, he will do that, and he can put up nice numbers. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 12 points and 4.3 assists, and that's okay. But it comes on games like this. And then it comes on games like the one before, 9 points and 2 assists. Now, he has scored in double figures in 4 of the last 5 games, and the assist numbers are generally pretty good. To me, he is still not a must-own player. He, in a 14-team league, absolutely, he has to be owned in that sort of situation. But in a 12-team league, if you're looking for assists, he's got 2 more games this week. You might get 8, 9 assists out of him across those 2 games. You might get 10. You might get 25 points, and that could be valuable. But is it valuable, more valuable than the other 10 guys you've got who normally would be starting? Is he worth dropping someone for? He needs to be guaranteed 25 to 27 minutes, which he's not going to be at the moment, to really be a consistent performer. We know that he's got tantalizing upside, and what happens with Schroeder in the offseason is going to be huge. And for you guys who own him in dynasty leagues, you could get a guy who's a top 130 guy who becomes a top 50 player just in the matter of if he gets traded. That could legit happen to him because he has got tremendous fantasy upside, and we see it plenty of times when he gets these opportunities. Well, not if he gets traded, if T gets traded even. He can put up big numbers, and that's the hard part about it. Or do I own him? Do I drop him? Do I keep him? Do I add him? Because he'll do this, and then he'll go and have 10 and 3. And that's like, it's all right, but it's not brilliant, and it's not enough to get it done on a regular basis in the playoffs. He's that guy who's ranked around that 120 mark, which is okay, but to me, that's not must-own in 12-teamers. It might be ownable, but when the Hawks play two more games this week on a busy Friday and a busy Saturday, you're probably not even going to fit him into your active lineup. And that might be a waste of a pickup. It all depends, obviously, on your team. And this is another point I want to get out there. At this point of the season, you can always tweet me questions. You can always ask me questions on Facebook. You can ask them on Instagram. You can do whatever in that sense. But the answer I'm going to give you most of the time is, it depends. It depends what you need. You're in the playoffs. It's not, there is no such thing, you know, I don't like the term in a vacuum. There's no such thing as in a vacuum. There's no such thing as overall value. There is, I'm adding this player for a specific reason. I need points. I need assists. I need blocks. I need field goal percentage. My opponent is good in this area. There's no point in going, oh, I just want someone to give me, a little bit of points, a little bit of rebounds. If you're already winning points by 100 or you're losing it by 50, there's no point in getting someone whose value is derived from points. You need to be looking specifically at your team needs, what your opponent does, and the schedule. That is all it comes down to this week. It is not for maybe he'll be good in 2 weeks, maybe he'll do this, I just want a little bit of all-round production. It's not what you need. A Roto Leagues is a different story, but if you're talking about head-to-head matchups, you want things specific. You need to hone in, and by now we're 3 days in and it's a one-week matchup, you should be getting an idea of, you know what, this category is toast, I'm done, I can't get back, I'm down 30 blocks to 5, I'm done. So anyone who's you're going to give me blocks, I don't need blocks. Yeah, you might be up 300 points to 200 points. And you go, okay, points probably aren't my biggest priority at the moment. You might be 8% down in free throws. You know what? Free throws are toast. I can add some punt free throw guys. Steve Adams, Jan Mihinmi. I'm already losing anyway. Let's get the rebounds and blocks up. Let's get the field goal percentage up. That's the way you need to look at it this week. And you might be completely anti-punting, but you need to, it's not a punt necessarily, but you need to go, I'm losing this category. Forget about it. I can't, if I'm down enough here, I can't get it back this week. I need to make my moves to win the categories that are in doubt. Most times you'll have two categories you're winning or three. Your opponent will have two or three that they're winning, and the other two or three are up for grabs. And that's where you need to focus your attention. So Schroeder might be someone you need to add because, you know what, assists are going to be close. And he can give me 4 or 5 a game, and I might actually use him in my active lineups and get 10 or 11 assists across those 2 games. But if I'm winning assists by a long way, what's the point? There's no point. So that's how every add or drop that you make in these weeks in your head-to-head leagues needs to be looked at. In even every start or sit situation. Today, 12 games, you would have had guys on the bench and guys starting. Who do I start? You start the guys who give the stats in the categories you need. Now, Aaron Gordon has been terrible for a bit of a stretch of time here. Some of him, some to do with Scott Skiles. But in a matchup that I'm in a finals matchup, I'm looking at it and going, you know what? I'm comfortably winning these categories. Threes, I'm well up. Assists, I'm well up. Yeah, my free throw, my points are well up. But I'm rebounds and blocks are close. So I sat someone, and I can't remember who it was that I sat. Might have been Rod Hood, actually. I sat him because I don't need what he's going to give me. I need the potential that Aaron Gordon gives me 3 blocks and 10 rebounds. And he did it. And that's, overall, if I'm just thinking of overall value, then Gordon hasn't done anything recently. Hood hasn't done a massive amount recently either. But you need to look at every decision based on who am I playing, what is going to happen here. And that's the way you need to look at it. That was somewhat of a rant. I hope it all makes sense because that's really how you need to approach it this week. The young gun of the night is a player who I alluded to it earlier. This guy could have swung a category this week, and that is Nikola Mirotic of the Chicago Bulls. 34 minutes for Mirotic, 35 points with 9 triples, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 10 of 17 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. And I have gone on and on about Mirotic all season, about the way that I don't think that he has been used correctly by the coaching staff, in the way that Fred Hoiberg has had way too quick of a hook on him, and he didn't allow him early in the season to play through a couple of missed shots. He's good. And I know people don't believe that he's good. He is actually good. And this is not a sign to make me say, look, told ya, because he has been bad at times. But he has been terribly utilized, I think. He's been paired in the wrong situations. He hasn't been able to play through issues and get any sort of rhythm established. But he did today, and he was fantastic. Mirotic is owned in 77% of leagues, so he's probably not available on your waiver wire. If he is, I would definitely be looking to add him, because I do think that I know that he can provide significant value, and especially with the Bulls playing the Knicks again on Thursday. So you're definitely going to get a game. So if he's on your waiver wire, you add him now and you see what happens. Now, he might not do the same thing against the Knicks. Likelihood of him going for 35 with 9 triples is probably pretty small, but you would hope that he gets 30 minutes, close to 30 minutes again, and puts up a pretty significant number. And it's on a light schedule night. There's only 5 games on Thursday. So you can add Mirotic and easily plug him into your starting lineup. I wish he would have had this opportunity to play these minutes all season. He's averaging just 24 minutes a game this year. Yes, his numbers have been down. He's shooting slightly worse from the field, slightly worse from the free throw line than he was last year. But you know what he's doing? He's also shooting 38% from 3 this season. He's also shooting, and this would shock a lot of people, 48% from 3 over the last 2 months. That's dreadfully underutilized. When a guy is shooting 48% from 3, you should give him more than 24 minutes, especially when the other guys in that front court, and Noah's been out. I know he missed time, and he hasn't played many games. It's only 12-game sample size, but he should have been playing 30 minutes with Gasol injured, with Butler injured, they need some shooting, with Gibson injured and honestly just not great. Bob Porter struggling a lot. But Mirotic hasn't been given that playing time. And it's frustrating to me, obviously, and I wish that we could see that. But that is remarkable shooting. 48% his last 12 games is fantastic. He's not a 48% shooter, but he has improved that area this year, and he can contribute in many categories. And I think that his defensive issues are significantly overblown. That was my Nikola Mirotic rant. Let's get on to the dud of the night. And we're going to head to Portland and go with CJ McCollum, who played 37 minutes and he had 14 points. And that's okay. He had 4 assists. But no threes, 1 rebound, no steals, no blocks on a 5 of 14 shooting night. And also went 4 of 6 from the free throw line. It wasn't the best night from CJ. Now, he has had a really good season. No doubt about that. But he has cooled off. He's ranked 38th over the course of the year. He's ranked 63rd over the last month. His shooting has... It's dropped a little bit, but it's the other things. His steal rate is in the last month is at 0.6. He was at 1.1 for the season, so less steals. I don't know. He's still averaging over 20 points a game. He's still almost an absolute lock for most improved player. But the numbers have started to come sort of a bit back to earth with McCollum. Not as like he was a top 30 guy to start the season, and he's definitely not at that level yet. But he's still been absolutely fantastic and putting up, you know, pretty significant numbers most of the time. Let's just chalk this one up to being a stinker and hope that he bounces back for your fantasy team in the next game. Let's have a look at the perfect DFS lineup from Wednesday. At point guard, Lord Alfred Payton, 48 points, a handy triple-double off the bench for Lord Alfred. Predicting Skiles' rotations is fraught with danger. The other point guard, Rajon Rondo, 52.6, probably his best game in maybe the last month. Shooting guards, Jim Harden, 60.4, and Devin Booker at 44.1. The small forwards, Gordo Hayward, 45.6, and Mirotic at 44.2. Hayward was pretty good in that win against the Rockets, but it always helps when you play the Rockets. Power forward, Kevin Love, bounced back, 44 points for Love. And Amir Johnson has definitely got a massive, massive arrow heading upwards with him at the moment. We never know how long it's going to last with Brad Stevens, but for Johnson, this is about 4 or 5 in a row. It is, he's trending in the right direction, 39.3 for him. and the center DeAndre Jordan 51.5, that lineup would have netted you 429.8 points. I wouldn't say that it was an impossible lineup to throw out there. You could make a case for most of those guys, and you could have definitely put that lineup together. But a few of those performances are not something you wouldn't have put a huge amount of faith in all that happening the way it did. We are going to take a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back to go through these 12 games from a pretty busy Wednesday in the NBA. All right, guys, we are back. Let's look at the first game, which is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Giannis, 24-6-6, a block. He's still putting up great numbers. They're not quite as spectacular as what they were maybe 2 weeks ago, but 24-6-6, it's pretty hard to complain. And he hit both his free throws, so a big bonus there. Jabari Parker has also cooled off. Only one rebound is really disappointing for a guy who's playing power forward. 27 minutes for Jabari, 12 points. Did have 4 steals, and that is a real hidden strength of what he can do fantasy-wise. He can be a really good steals guy as a power forward. 12 points, 3 assists. Yeah. Chrissy Middleton, only the 9 points, and he has dropped off significantly as well. 2 rebounds, 11 assists, which is a career high, 2 steals and a 3, so at least contributing in those areas, but this is clearly the best 3 players on this team. Greg Monroe, talk about players or coaches whose rotations are tough to work out. Monroe plays 22 minutes one game, 34 the next, and looks great. 26 minutes in this one, 14-2 with the steal. I think 25 to 27 minutes is more realistic than the 34 we saw from him in the last game. And this sort of production, which is going to be outside the top 50, is more of what we can expect from him. Johnny Henson played 20 minutes, 12 points with a block and a steal. Miles Plumlee had 22 minutes and had 2 blocks. And those two guys are really just stream blocks guys at this point. And Jared Bayless played 33 as the point guard. 15 points with 3 triples and 5 rebounds. That looks nice on the surface. 6 of 9 shooting is unrealistic to sustain, and he hasn't provided really anything prior to this game. So he had a great opportunity when Michael Carter-Williams went down, but that's when Kidd switched to point Giannis, and that really nullified any value that Bayless had. So to me, he's a maybe a stream guy. Doesn't have the greatest schedule this week, so I don't think we need to be too worried about that sort of performance from Bayless. Tyler Ennis, 15 minutes. Jared Cunningham, if you didn't know, plays for the Bucks now. He had 7 points in his 11 minutes. Nothing too interesting there. On the Cavs, Kevin Love. This is Minnesota Kevin Love here. 24-10 in 31 minutes. 4 triples, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. That's a huge performance from Love. 8 of 14 from the field. 4 of 5 from the free throw line. He was back in the starting lineup after missing the last game. And let's hope we get more of these down the stretch. I think that we won't be overly reliant on it, because that's just not who he is really anymore in this setup, in this team. Kyrie was great as well, 16-8-8 in 38 minutes, while LeBron went 26-6-8 with 2 steals, a block, and a 3. But LeBron hurt both your percentages, going 9 of 22 from the field and 7 of 2 from the line. And you sort of come to expect that from LeBron this season a bit. Tristan Thompson had a double-double off the bench, 13-10 with 2 blocks. Stream for boards. That is literally it for Thompson, I reckon. And Tim Mozgov, another 21 minutes here. He played over 20 in the last game. That's 2 in a row of over 20. 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. Do you do anything with that sort of production from Mozgov? I'm going to go ahead and say no, but the Cavs do play Thursday, so adding him or adding Thompson, you might get a field goal percentage bump, you might get some blocks from Mozgov, you'll get some boards from Thompson. That could be a really important move to add. I'll probably add Thompson over Mozgov for Thursday, but both guys are going to be in action, and you should see some production out of them. J.R. Smith, 13-3-4 with 3 triples. That's a second strongish game in a row from him, and it is underrated that sometimes he can give you assist numbers, like 4 here, and he had 5 the other day, another steal. He can provide outside of the three-point category, but really that's his main strength. Not much else on the bench. Channing Frye went back to 13 minutes and missed all 5 of his shots. All 5 were from 3, though, so he's really penciled in as that role. He is that stretch player, and he is going to continue to shoot three-pointers at a pretty high clip, I would imagine. So Frye remains an interesting three-point stream, and you can even look to stream him against the Nets as well if you're really looking for some threes. The next game is the Atlanta Hawks and the Washington Wizards. Paul Millsap bounced back after a subpar performance last time against the Wizards, 17-9-6 with 3 steals and a 3. And Kyle Korver had one of his better games, 15 points all from 3, so 5 triples, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He, like Channing Frye, is a better option than Channing Frye. He is a a three streamer at this point for standard leagues. I do not think that he should be held onto. Al Horford, 13 points, hit three triples remarkably, three rebounds and three assists. Othabo Cefalosha played 25 minutes. So let's look. Let's look at what this wing rotation did. Kent Bazemore played 11. If you own Bazemore, it's done. He is not good, and I've maintained that for a very long time. And finally, it's all catching up to him. He'll go in and turn in a pretty good performance at some point in the next few games. I'm pretty confident, but he's done. There's no point holding him in my mind, especially with the way that Thabo's playing and Tim Hardaway. Thabo, 8-5-2 with a triple one. He's a great rebound source for a shooting guard. He's going to get you steals, and he'll hit some threes, and his field goal percentage has been very good this season. Tim Hardaway, 14 points, two triples, a steal. Don't expect much else from him, but he can be a really interesting points guy in a deeper sort of format. Only 8% owned Hardaway, so you know, available in even maybe your 14 or 16 team leagues, and he is getting clearly more minutes than Bazemore at this point. Jeff Teague struggled, 9-6-6 with two triples, 3 of 10, and 1 of 4 from the free throw line. I think that's really about it. Oh, Chris Humphries had a really interesting defensive game. Two steals and two blocks in his 17 minutes. He's clearly going to be, if Millsap or Horford misses time, Humphries would be an awesome stream option and DFS play in that sort of spot. But apart from that, he's a deep league sort of guy only. Got a question come in here. Danny Triella. He loves a live question, Big Danny. Am I crazy for thinking that the Dubs will not come out of the West? You're a little bit crazy. But the Spurs are there, so it's not. If anyone apart from the Spurs or the Warriors come out of the West, I would be shocked. But you know, there's a chance they don't. I still think that they will. And do you think that the 5-8 seeds will upset a 1-4 seed? In the West, no, I don't. In the East, probably not. Maybe the Bulls. If the Bulls get the Raptors, then I would look at it that way and think, you know what, there's a real chance there because the Raptors haven't beaten the Bulls in about 3 years. So, you know, I think there's a chance of that. It really depends on how it all... And the Pacers are another one who have an opportunity to beat one of the top few seeds in the East. But in the West, I don't imagine any of 5-8 beating the guys of 1-4. Back to the Wizards. Markieff. 26 minutes for Morris, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 3 triples, 8 of 12 shooting. Now, you know I've spoken about Markieff a lot on this show. I've been very much like, drop him if you want, drop him if you want. I'm holding. I don't think many people would realize he has been a top 100 player the last month. He's been a top 70 player the last 2 weeks in only 27 minutes a game. He contributes in many categories. In those last 2 weeks, 14 points, 5.5 rebounds, 1.5 threes, 1.5 assists, 1.5 steals, half a block, 53% from the field. Now, his overall season field goal percentage at 42 makes you go, oh, is he going to regress? But there's a lot of bullshit mixed in with that field goal percentage. He's not a 42% guy. He was 47 last year. He was 49 the year before. He's not a 53 guy, but he's a high 40 sort of player. He's not that guy who was just jacking up shots in Phoenix. He is a more controlled player than that generally, and he can contribute in many categories, and he could be on your waiver wire, and he is a guy that I would definitely be looking to add, and he is not, to me, just a streaming option. He does play on Sunday, and he's got a great matchup on Sunday against the Lakers. The Wizards play Friday also against the Timberwolves. You might not even be able to squeeze him into your active lineup there, but Sunday, less games, great matchup against the Lakers. Morris could be a matchup swinger when we look at that, and we'll talk about that later in the week when we get back to Sunday. Marcus Thornton. 23 minutes for Thornton here. He scored 23 points, including 5 triples. Now, we've seen him in Houston this year have plenty of explosions. I don't trust it really at all, so I don't think I'll be getting all that interested there, but what is interesting to me is Garrett Temple played 5 minutes. And if you've heard my podcast at all through the season, you know that I think that that's 5 minutes too many for Garrett Temple. I don't know how he's played as many minutes as he had this season. Yes, they had injuries, but he's just not good. Thornton becomes a deeper league sort of guy if he's legit replacing Temple. But Randy Whitman has been in love with Temple for the last 2 seasons. And yes, he provides some defense, but the game goes both ways, and he's a zero offensively. Marcin Gortat, 14 and 14 with a steal and a block, just really gutting it out at the moment. So that's fantastic for his owners. And Johnny Wall, not his best performance, 13, 3 and 10. Still had two steals, a block and a triple, but it was the 6 of 17 efficiency and 7 turnovers that hurt his game. Otto Porter, 11 and 6 with no other stats. That's a so-so line. And Brad Beal, not a good night there. 7 points, 3 assists, no other stats. Pretty close to the dud of the night from Beal. He will be better than that, but the important thing is he played 31 minutes. He's not going to play 38 minutes. He might not ever play 38 minutes again in a game, but if he at least is getting over 30, that's pretty much enough for us. Jared Dudley, 7 points in his 22 minutes. Kelly Oubre got on the court for 2 minutes. He hasn't impressed really to me at all this season, Oubre, but you know, it's a rookie season. You could see him have a big jump up next season. And Ramon Sessions went down to 11 minutes in this game. Now, it was a bit of a blowout, so that probably allowed Thornton to get some extra playing time here as well. So it might not be a case of this is a permanent rotation move. The Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons. Vic Oladipo, the minutes are clearly there for him. 41 again, 14, 3 and 5, 3 steals, 1 block, 1 triple, 5 of 18 shooting really hurt him. And I think we talked about this on yesterday's podcast or the day before, that the rate at which he was shooting and the field goal percentage was bound to come down, but he contributes in so many other areas. You know, 3 steals, 5 assists, a 3 a block, they're all great numbers. Lord Alfred Payton, 34 minutes. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal. Talked about him yesterday, and he'd already played 30 minutes off the bench in that game. He was off the bench here, 34 minutes. It doesn't make a massive difference to his fantasy value if he starts or not. But if he's going to get 30 minutes, then he becomes interesting. Now, he won't score 20 points. He might not score 20 points again for the rest of the season. But he's an above-average rebounder for his position. Good assist guy, good steals. But you need to watch the percentages. 9 of 21 from the field is very harmful. And adding him, it might have been a worse move than leaving him on the wire because of that hit. It might not have been. It didn't have a massive Z score value, but 43% at 21 attempts is not ideal. Like Oladipo, when he goes 28% on 18, that's much more impactful. But it's still something to bear in mind, and especially when he goes 2 of 4 from the free throw line, which is this is the thing that you need to realize when you're talking percentages in fantasy leagues. 9 of 21 from the field from Payton, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. 2 of 4 is much worse performance than 9 of 21. It's almost, talking Z scores here, field goal percentage is a negative 1.42, free throw, negative 2.32. So we're not double, but we're getting pretty bloody close to it. Payton is going to be a good source for assists and steals and boards, but there is a downside to his game. No Nick Vucevic, and I think he's going to be out for a significant amount of time here. I reckon you almost have to drop him without an IR spot, as painful as that might be. Aaron Gordon, 29 minutes, 15 and 11, 3 assists. He went 5 of 15 from the field. That's not ideal. And 4 of 4 from the free throw line. That's pretty good. Mario Hezonja, 23 minutes, 8 points, 2 triples, 2 steals. Good to see him get the minutes, but it's not going to impact our standard formats. Well, Evan Fournier had 14 in his 29 minutes. The starting point guard, Brandon Jennings, played 11 minutes, 6 points and a steal. He shouldn't be owned in 12s, probably not even 14-team leagues. And CJ Watson, not able to be seen at all. The Scott Skiles roller coaster with any of these players is just remarkable to me. How can you play 30 minutes and then go to not playing at all? There's so much weirdness with the way that he runs things. Ersan Ilyasova, 8 points in 24 minutes. Dwayne Dedman, 2 and 6 with a couple of blocks. And Jason Smith went 12, 3 and 4 in 23 minutes. And those three guys are sort of sharing Vucevic's minutes. It's not, none of them are really must-add players in 12-team leagues. I'd like Smith in probably a 16-teamer, but that's really about it. Had a question come in from Steve Eman, who says, what will you be doing after the playoffs are over? Can we expect more daily awesome content? Okay, well, Steve, I have talked about this on a few podcasts, but I generally talk about it at the end when most of you are probably shut off and not listening. After the playoffs, the podcast will continue. Now, it won't be every single day, but what we'll do is we'll do, through the first two rounds of the playoffs, when the daily fantasy sites are offering contests, we're going to do DFS previews all through then. When that finishes, those first two rounds, we're going to go into season in review podcasts for each team. 30 podcasts, 30 teams, which will end up being pretty close to daily. Then after that, we transition into the NBA draft. We'll look at Actually, we might not even transition straight into the NBA draft. We might do just a real early look ahead or a look back on the last season's rankings, who's underrated, who's got a chance to bump up, all that sort of stuff. Just a few sort of random topics. Then we go into NBA draft. We do mock drafts. We do prospect breakdowns. We discuss all that stuff. Then we have a draft review. Then we do free agency stuff. And then we head straight into Summer League. And I might go over to Summer League again this season and be able to do talk on rookies there, talking dynasty leagues and rookie predictions. And then we do some more things throughout July and August. And then we head into the team preview podcast series, which normally runs through September. Again, about an hour on each team. We go through each team with generally a guest who is affiliated with that team and go through and preview that. Then we get into mock drafts and season strategy and all that sort of stuff. So, Steve, the podcast continues. It won't necessarily be every day, but I reckon through most of the off season, you're going to get five shows at least. And then you get a period through July where you might only get two or three shows a week, but it's definitely going to continue and there's going to be heaps of stuff. And a lot of you Dynasty people will find a lot of helpful information, I think helpful anyway, throughout the off season. So definitely don't go away. Also, throughout the off season, all of the Red Rock Listener League information will be released. At this point, and it's very early on, I'm planning on having 27 different leagues. That sounds big. We're going to do big series of head-to-head leagues. We're going to introduce a series of roto leagues as well. We're going to have three dynasty leagues going, and there's scope for much more. So there's going to be a massive, massive listener league setup happening, and all the information for that will be released throughout the off-season. So you have to make sure you're staying tuned to the podcast and through all the various social media outlets. Back to the game. Good question, Steve. Actually, Steve had another part to his question, but I don't even know how to answer it. Why is Curry a cheat code? Because he's just friggin' brilliant. I don't know what else I can say to that. The Pistons. Andre Drummond, 30 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks on 14 of 20 shooting. I talked yesterday about him. I was expecting maybe some ability to have an offensive blow-up, and he did here. So that's a big number from Drummond, and actually only went 2 of 3 from the free throw line. So that shouldn't really matter because you're already punting that category, but at least it didn't keep him out of the game. Marcus Morris, 15, 5, and 4, 2 threes and 2 steals, and he is looking really solid. Now, he went through a stretch of about 3 months of being putrid, despite playing 38 minutes a night, but now he's looking really good. Toby Harris, 18, 4, and 3, 2 blocks and a 3. I'm a massive Toby fan. Now, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope sat this game out due to an illness, so Darren Hilliard started. He played 29 minutes and went 11, 6, and 3 with 2 triples and a steal. I like Hilliard. I think that Hilliard can be a decent backup guard in the NBA in the next couple of seasons. He's a very deep dynasty sort of player, but I do think that he can score, and he showed it here. Nice performance. Stan Johnson, I would have hoped he would have played 34, 35 minutes, but they went with Hilliard more. Johnson off the bench, 13, 8, and 2, 3 triples and a steal. Really, really good. But to me, he's a 14-teamer, if that, at this point. Anthony Tolliver went scoreless in 15 minutes. Aaron Baines went 13 and 2 in his 13 minutes, and Reg Jackson, 16 points, 9 assists, 3 triples. They're all good numbers. 5 of 14, not so much. The Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics. Kyle Lowry did not play. Rest. And the Raptors lost. Big win for the Celtics, actually. Really huge win for them. And that just shows how important Lowry is. With Lowry out, Corey Joseph started, played 32 minutes, and 9, 6, and 4. Now, Corey Joseph is a guy that I don't think he's a great player. He's had some decent fill-in stretches, some decent backup minutes in San Antonio and Toronto. But when they signed him, I was really bummed because I just wanted to see DeLon Wright in that backup role. And that obviously means that Wright gets pushed to the third point guard. Now, Wright played as a backup here. He played 20 minutes, had 6 and 8 on 3 of 10 shooting. I wish they would give Wright more of an opportunity. So I understand them signing Joseph, the Toronto connection. He's more seasoned, you know, playoff push, all that sort of stuff. But I just don't think he's any good. Lowry's going to be back fairly soon. I would imagine the next game he'll be back in, so Joseph's value disappears pretty quickly. Jonas Valanciunas was back. 21 minutes, and this is going to shock no one. In 21 minutes, he was actually still good. 10 and 7, 1 steal, 2 blocks on 5 of 10 shooting. If he is ever allowed to play 33 minutes, he will be a top 40 fantasy guy, a top 35 guy. But unfortunately, Dwayne Casey hates him and refuses to play him those sort of minutes. If he's on your waiver wire, you got to add him. Now, there were some weird things I saw in a few places, Twitter and in Basketball Monster on the forums, about people asking questions today before the game, do I drop Jonas Valanciunas? I don't know why you would have held on to Jonas Valanciunas to drop him just before he played. And based on that performance, I don't think you need to drop him at all. 21 minutes, 10 and 7, he'll go back to 25 or 26 in the next game and be better than that. You need to, I don't think there's any point in dropping a guy the game that he's returning after you've missed out on the last four or five with him. DeMar DeRozan, 21 points, 2 assists, 1 steal. Not a great night. And Luis Scola only played the 24 minutes here. Patrick Patterson was out, so you would have hoped that he got some extra run, but it didn't happen. 9 points on 3 triples with a block. We know who he is. 6 and 10 for Jason Thompson. And Normie Power got another start. He only played 12 minutes here, though. Terrence Ross played 36 in his spot. 2, 2 and 3 for Power, while Ross went 13 and 3. On 5 of 18 shooting. Now, Ross will not get that many shots when Lowry's back, so I don't think we need to overreact to that sort of thing for Terrence Ross, but he can be an interesting 3-point streamer. That's really about all he provides at this point, which is disappointing, because I did think that he had an ability to be an interesting guy. Now, the Raptors do have 2 easy matchups coming up. They've got Houston and New Orleans Friday and Saturday, but that's Friday and Saturday. Busy nights, 10 and 9 games, I think, on those nights. So adding a guy like a Ross, he might just end up sitting on your bench anyway. Bismack Biyombo played 27 minutes, went scoreless. He did have 13 rebounds and a block, but I imagine those 27, they turn into 21 pretty quickly, and then any value of him, even as a stream guy, is limited. Joseph Diefenbach, do you think Toronto would have sat Lowry if only up 2 or 3 games on Boston for the two seed? I'm not sure they're overly concerned about the seed, to be honest. I think that they're really mindful of how beaten up Lowry was down the stretch last season, and I think that if they need to give him rest, they'll give him rest. I don't think they'll be overly concerned about the seeding. The Celtics, Evan Turner, he has to be owned, I think. Well, not, he has to be owned. 17, 4, and 7. 2 steals, 2 blocks, 1 triple, at least until Jay Crowder returns. That is a fantastic line. And even if it's just for his ability to get assists at that position, that can be, it's like playing a point guard in your small forward spot. It's really, really handy. 2 steals is brilliant. 2 blocks, not going to happen again. But he can be a really interesting player for this team. Amir Johnson, 11 and 14. 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 34 minutes. Is it the fact that he's finally healthy now that Brad Stevens has gone, just play him? Just playing big minutes? I don't know. But we need to look at it. We need to consider Amir Johnson as a 12-team league guy. Absolutely. Now, the minutes are way up. The production's right there. He's always been a real favorite of mine for standard leagues because of his ability to get rebounds. He can hit some threes. He blocks shots at a high rate. The 5 assists is a little bit abnormal. But he's a guy that we have to pay attention to. Jared Sullinger went 9 and 11 in 27 minutes. At least he got the minutes, the shots. He got 12 of them as well. Only hit 3, but at least he took the shots. So I'm not panicking to drop him. Isaiah Thomas, 23, 2 and 4, 2 steals and 3 triples, while Avery Bradley went 16, 8 and 2 with a couple of threes too. So nice numbers from Bradley. Nice numbers from Thomas. Marcus Smart, 25 minutes, 2 and 2 with an assist. Not good. I thought he had a real chance with Crowder out to put up numbers. He is clearly move honourable from, and Kelly Olynyk, after his big 24-point performance, dropped 3 in 18 minutes. Such is the life of owning Kelly Olynyk or watching him. Despite how good he can be, he just never appears like he's going to be in a position to get big minutes on a consistent basis. Only 18 minutes here, and Jonas Jerebko had 3 points in his 10 minutes. Had another question come in. Lots of live questions today, which is great. DeMarcus Anthony, do you think Stanley Johnson has a chance to be an all-star, and what type of player is his max potential? I think 20% of LeBron. Maybe. You know, and speaking of his potential, I'm working on something at the moment to try and get fantasy comparables in terms of comparing players through past databases of all the old fantasy stats through every year, and trying to work out which players in this season, how their season compares. And once I do that, obviously, I'll include that in all the season review stuff. I haven't done Stanley Johnson's yet, but that's definitely a question that I should be able to answer and tell you what he's like. I think that to be an all-star, no, I don't. I think he'll be a really good starter. I don't think he'll be an all-star. If you ask Kyle McEwen, he thinks that he's going to be a mixture of James Harden and Kawhi Leonard, which feels like just slightly above where he should be. But he can be good. I'm just not totally sold on him. But seriously, he's like 20 years old. There's, you know, we're talking 4 or 5 years down the track. He could be really good. He's got the skill set. He can defend really well. The steals, the assists, the rebounds, scoring, threes, all those categories can be real benefits for Stanley. So I do think that in a dynasty league, he has tremendous value moving forward. Not sure about the All-Star though, but you never know. The next game, the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Rajon Rondo, 25, 8, and 12. 3 triples on 10 of 16 shooting. Completely unrealistic shooting percentage for Rondo. He hit 2 threes as well. Just a big night, and we haven't seen that from him in quite a while. That limited Darren Collison to just 27 minutes. He had 12, 3, and 4, which is still really solid and ownable. Marco Ballinelli, he played 24 minutes. He's just not going to get enough run in this sort of team to put up consistent enough numbers to be owned. 14 points with 2 triples. Quincy Acey started, played 22, 9 points, and this is all with DeMarcus Cousins out, by the way. Costa Kufos, he was huge, 15 and 15 with 2 blocks in 38 minutes. He is tremendously underrated, Kufos. If he was in a different situation without Cousins ahead of him, he would be he'd be thriving. If Cousins is out long-term, Kufos, to me, is a must-add player. Omri Caspi, 12 and 4 in 26 minutes, and even with Cousins out, which is a detriment to George Karl, in my opinion, and there's lots of detriments to George Karl, Willie Cauley-Stein played just 21 minutes. What does this matter this season? Put Cauley-Stein out there, let him play against Karl Anthony Towns, and play him 30 minutes and see what you can do. But no, let's play him 21. 2 and 5 with a block. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but there's no chance of him being a standard league guy. And even if Cousins is injured for more games, then it's just hard to see because Karl hates him, hates the franchise, hates developing players, hates everything. Rudy Gay, 11, 2, and 3 in 32 minutes. He has been just dreadful over the last month or so. Just really, really poor from Gay. And you expect him to turn it around, but it just keeps going and going and going. Timberwolves, Karl Anthony Towns is pretty good. I do encourage you to listen to the podcast of him. I'd love to get him on this podcast. I'll see what sort of strings I can pull. But he was on Chris Mannix's Vertical podcast. I'm only about halfway through listening. No, I'm not. I've listened to it all. I lie. Really good interview with him. And he just sounds like a really cool, nice kid. I don't know. He just seems like a good bloke. And as much as that might be underrated, I think good blokiness is a real key factor to a lot of guys developing. Now, there are some people who you might say are good NBA players without being good blokes. There are a few of those ones around. But I don't know. I just feel like if you are articulate and if you care, and that's exactly how Towns comes across as being someone who's smart and someone who cares, then you care about what you do. You care about what your job is. You care about how you perform your job. And he clearly does all those things, and he has got superstardom written all over him. He had 26 points in 29 minutes, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 blocks. Great of Sam Mitchell to sit him down the stretch because he had 5 fouls with 4 minutes left. What does it matter, Mitchell, you dickhead? Just play him. Who cares if he fouls out? Big performance. And once Cousins was ruled out, he made him a great D. Look, he looked like he was going to be a good DFS play, but I was worried yesterday, as I mentioned, fouling against Cousins. He still had the fouls, but without Cousins out there, you almost had to use Towns. Although you could have used Kufos. Gorgui Dieng, 16 and 12. 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 37 minutes. Hopefully that means that the hip is not a problem and he is going to continue to put up big numbers. Rick Rubio, only the 7 points, but you want to focus your attention to the next columns. 5 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals. That's what Rubio can do. That's why I'm a fan of him. We go. 23 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He had the anti-triple one, and that is 0 threes, 0 steals, 0 blocks, but went 10 of 15 from the field. He was 3 of 6 from the line, which is not ideal. But some still a pretty nice number from him. And Zachy LaVine played 44 minutes, 23 points, 4 assists, and 4 triples. Remember, I think back in January, when he just couldn't get over 25 minutes a game because Sam Mitchell just had to get Tayshaun Prince out there for 25 minutes a night? That's one of the more ludicrous things we've seen. Tyus Jones played 22 minutes, 3 points, but 5 assists and 3 steals. I know I've spoken about Jones a lot, but he is a real interesting prospect for me moving forward, whether it's on this team or it's on another team. He can be a starting point guard, and he can be a real decent source of assists. Nemanja Bjelica back in the starting lineup, 4 points, not starting lineup, back in the rotation, 4 points in 4 minutes. Not much else in the bench. Shabazz Muhammad has significantly regressed, whether that's him or whether it's the coach, we don't know. But 4 points in 11 minutes, he shouldn't be anywhere near your fantasy roster. And good to see Tayshaun Prince did not take a single shot in 11 minutes, had 1 rebound. the least valuable player this season. I'd love to. I should have a look at that at the end of the year. Who is the least valuable player? He is close. The New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls.
Percentages.
Ah, yes. Kristaps, 31 minutes, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 3 threes. It's his first double-double under Kurt Rambis, and that is embarrassing for Rambis. I've talked about rookie walls plenty on this show. They are a load of shit. The reason that he was looking lost is because his coach was stuffing everything up. He was playing limited minutes because his coach wouldn't play him, not because he'd hit the rookie wall. He's played over 30 the last few games, and shockingly enough, I know this must really bother Rambis, he's actually been good in that time, and he's shown he can handle it. Wow, amazing. Great. This is great if you own him, because it was really looking like he was just dropping and dropping and dropping because Rambis was just sitting him and wouldn't play him. For whatever bullshit reason and excuse he came up with, he wouldn't do it. But now I hope that someone's giving him a tap on the shoulder. I hope the next tap's coming, because why are you playing Jose Calderon 37 minutes? But Porzingis back in action. Robin Lopez was monstrous. 11 and 13, 3 assists and 4 blocks. Huge night from him. While Calderon in his 37 minutes, which is just, I can't even think of the right word. Bullshit? Have I said that too much this podcast? It's bullshit. 11 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal and 2 threes. But he's getting 30 minutes almost every night, plus 30 plus every night. And 8 assists with 2 threes and a steal is unignorable. You can't ignore it. You have to look at him, and he has to be owned in more than 37% of leagues. Jose Calderon could swing a matchup. These 8 assists from Jose Calderon could have swung a matchup. He shouldn't be starting. He shouldn't be playing these minutes, but he is, and you've got to make do with that. I like that Jerian Grant played 17 minutes. He had 8 points with 2 triples. I'd love it if he was playing 37, but that's not going to happen. Langston Galloway went down to 9. Yeah, Galloway definitely should be playing over Calderon, but he shouldn't be playing over Grant. Aaron Aflalo, 12, 8, and 7 in 35 minutes. One of the best games he's put together this season. And Carmelo Anthony back from the migraine, 24, 3, and 5 with 4 triples. While Sasha Vujicic started, played 13 minutes, had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 threes, a steal, and a block. Why Vujicic is playing in the NBA at all this season, let alone at this point of the year, is still one of the biggest mysteries of the year. Derek Williams had 10 points in his 15 minutes. On the Bulls, Derek Rose, don't look now, but he's actually looking good. 21 points on 9 of 17 shooting, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 triples. And if you stuck with Rose all season, which I did in plenty of leagues, it's paying off for you, and it's looking good. Let's hope it continues. Taj Gibson, only the 20 minutes, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. He'll likely play more than that, but I really don't have an issue with Gibson playing 20 minutes. I am not the biggest Taj Gibson fan out there. I think he's fine. I think he's solid. I think he's serviceable. But to me, he's a backup 4 and 5. That's what he is. He's not a starter. He shouldn't be a 32-minute-a-game guy, a 30-minute-a-game guy. Jim Butler, terrible. Just terrible. 3 of 7. No, again, 3 of 11 from the field for 7 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So the 8 assists are really nice, and he's more facilitated, but he can't hit anything. He can't score at the moment, and it's really, really hurting. At least his minutes were back to 36, so we're getting back to ludicrous Butler minutes, which probably means an injury is just around the corner, but he needs to get that shot sorted. Pau Gasol, 25 minutes, and as I said on yesterday's podcast, he's not going to have a double-double, a 14 and 14 double-double in 25 minutes again. He went 4 and 5. He had a steal, a block, and 4 assists, but when you're playing 25 minutes, don't expect that sort of production. Dougie McDermott, 7 points in his 20 minutes. He's nothing more than a stream, and even then, it's going to be hard for him to approach 30 with everyone basically healthy apart from Etuan Moore. Bob Porter, 6-4 and 3 in 17 minutes, and Dunleavy went 7-4 and 2 despite playing 28 minutes. The minutes are there for Dunleavy, the production is not. The Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets. Gordo Hayward, 22, 6 and 5, 4 steals, 1 block, 2 triples. Fantastic. Derek Favors was brilliant as well, 17, 15 and 4 with 3 blocks. Derek Favors, okay, let's if you guys are listening along live and watching along live, what's Derek Favors' rank for the season? ACAT leagues. I'll tell you in a sec. You tweet at me, at redrock_bball, and tell me where you think Derek Favors is ranked this season. Trevor Booker played 26 minutes, 10, 5, and 4, 1 steal and a block. That's really nice production. I would much prefer Trey Lyles gets those minutes, but Booker turned in a good night, and when you're a big man going up against the Rockets, you're expected to put up numbers. Shelvin Mack continues to be inexplicably good. 16-2-3, two steals and three threes. I tweeted out a stat today of the since arriving at the Jazz. I think they're 6 points per 100 possessions better with him on the court, and minus 6 points per 100 possessions with him off. That's like a net of 12. Like, just crazy. And look, I know Hull Neto and Trey Burke are shit, and Burke is just terrible at the moment. Nicholas Kwan with a guess on Derek Favors. Is Favors top 25? No, he's not. Jason Diffenbach, Favors ranked 63. No, he's not. Remember, he's not 63. That's two guesses. I'll tell you, he's ranked 30th. So Nick, you're pretty close there. And I don't think many people would expect Derek Favors to be 30. I had him pretty high up in my rankings at the start of the season. I don't really know where he's. I'll have to check, but I think he was around that area. He's clearly been the superior player for the Jazz over Rudy Gobert, and he was always the superior player over Rudy Gobert. Just a lot of people were very excited about Gobert, but Favors has clearly been the better guy. Gobert stunk. 2 points in 23 minutes, 7 rebounds, and 1 assist on 1 of 7 shooting. At least he didn't miss any free throws, and that's probably the best thing that I can say about Rudy Gobert's performance here. Rod Hood, almost equally as bad, 2 of 11 from the field, 7-5-4 with a steal and a 3, so still contributed in those other areas, but not his best night. Shelvin Mack, you have to own him. At some point, you just can't continue like this because he's just not this good. But while it's continuing like this, like, why not? I think you pretty much have to own him. The Rockets. Dwight, 5 points on 6 shots. They cannot get Dwight any shots at all at the moment, and it's worrying. I don't know what's happening. Now, we did have 8 rebounds. He did have 6 blocks, so helping in those categories, but doing nothing offensively. Clint Capella had one of his better games. 10-5, 2 steals and 2 blocks. Now, when Dwight leaves this offseason, if he leaves, which we predict that he does, Capella is going to start at center for this team. I would think they might start Monty Yunus. Capella is going to be a fantasy asset. He will just be Dwight. He'll get blocks, he'll get steals, he'll get rebounds, he'll score okay, he'll have a high field goal percentage, he'll have a shit free throw percentage. I can't wait to see Capella unleashed. Trevor Reeves at 12 points with 2 triples and a block. Yeah, whatever. And Pat Beverley only the 5 points, but did add 6 assists, which is a bit of a surprise for him, with a steal and a 3, while Donatas Motiejunas had 9 points, including 2 threes. Can't wait to see him just get loose. Mike Beasley, 20 minutes, 10 points and a rebound. Disappointing. That's 2 low-minute games for him in a row. At this point in the season, 2 in a row for a fringe guy like that. Move on, get someone else, maybe add him later. No, by no means is he a must-hold player. Had a question come in again. Who was this one from? B. Sibs. What big 3 will be better? Wiggins, Towns and Levine, or Russell, Clarkson and Randall? Fantasy-wise and real life. This is an absolute no-brainer, B-Sibs. It is Wiggins, Towns, and Levine, because Towns is that much better than... You could add all those other 5 players together, and Towns is better than them, from a fantasy point of view at least. It is not even close. Randall is very limited to me, fantasy-wise. Jordan Clarkson will be solid, and he could be a top 50 player next season, Clarkson, but once the Lakers get better, I think that he gets pushed to a 6-man role. And Russell, I'm still not overly sold on what he can do. I still think that he's still a step slow, but Towns is just that good. Towns is a top 3 fantasy player in the next 3 years. That is the clear best big 3 out of those guys. I'm not a massive fan of Wiggins. I think Levine can be good, but I'm the worst player out of that trio to me is Randall. The best player is Towns. And then Wiggins, Levine versus Russell, Clarkson. It's pretty close. It is clearly Wiggins, Towns, Levine. Tweet at me if you think that I'm wrong. If you think that it's the Lakers guys that are the better 3, or if you agree that it's Wiggins, Towns, Levine as the best 3 for fantasy-wise and real life. Good question, B-Sibs, but it's pretty clear to me. The next game, the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. Only took 1 game for him to bounce back, but big Joshy Rich was back in action. 17-2-4, 3 steals, 1 block, 3 triples on 7 of 13 shooting. This guy has been a complete revelation. Took on the Spurs. They got smashed, but he still was able to put up numbers. I love him, but I still can't believe that he's doing it. Hassan Whiteside, 12-14 with a steal and 2 blocks. Dwayne Wade, 16-5-3 with a block in 25 minutes. Yeah, not bad. Luol Deng was out in this one, so Josh McRoberts started. He didn't do a huge amount, 9-3-3. He'll probably go back to not even playing when Deng is back in the next one. And Goran Dragic stunk, 4 points, four assists in his 25 minutes. He was nursing a couple of injuries, so you can make an excuse there. Joey Johnson, not good, 5-2-5. And Justice Winslow, 10-2-3. All in all, not a great night from the Heat, but big nights from Richardson and Whiteside help you. Oh, also, Gerald Green had 13 points in his 15 minutes. But again, this is not a reliable thing. Kawhi Leonard left the game with a right quad contusion. Apparently, it's not serious, but it also puts a little bit of a fear into the fantasy owners' hearts. He was still awesome. 32-8, a steal, a block, three threes, 12 of 21 shooting. We talk about Anthony Davis being injury prone, and yes, he's had a lot of injuries. Kawhi Leonard gets injured a lot as well, and I hate the injury prone label. I hate that sort of stuff, but with Matt's polls that he put out yesterday, you know, where would you draft Anthony Davis, and people, you know, Kawhi is a clear top five guy. Why do people not have an issue with Leonard's injuries? Why does he get a pass? It's interesting to know. The Spurs won this game easily. So Boban Marjanovic, 19-4 with a steal. Now, someone tweeted me today talking about dynasty value. And I said, once Boban has a big game, trade him away because his name value is huge. And people love him. And I love him. And he's a thrill to watch. He's massive. He's also old. He's also like 27 years old. His peak, he's in his prime. Yeah, he'll be better in a bigger opportunity, but I'm not sure he can ever really start and play big minutes. If someone in your dynasty league looks at this, and people love Boban, and rightfully so, but this is the time to trade him. Hey, look at this. Imagine Tim Duncan retires. They're going to start Boban at center. Trade him away. Get value back for him. This is the perfect opportunity, whoever that was that I tweeted this morning, and hopefully you're listening to the show. This is it. This is the opportunity that I talked to you about this morning. Trade him away now and get value out of him, because I'm not sure he's ever going to be able to be a full-time starter in the league. Timmy Duncan, 4-9-4. Danny Green hit three triples for 9 points. But all in all, it was just a blowout. So the minutes were spread all over the place. Not much to really gauge for us. Because I'm not just a standard league guy, but for standard league players, not much to really pay attention to. The Sixers and the Nuggets. Bob Cove was back, and he was back in action big time. Only 27 minutes, but that doesn't matter. 16-9. A steal, a block, three triples. If he's on your waiver wire, you got to go and add him now, because that's obviously a big performance. Nerlens Noel was out with a knee issue. This might be a real issue for him moving down the stretch. He's obviously had knee issues in the past. The Sixers are clearly not playing for anything. They're not going to risk him at any point. Maybe he misses some more games. Kyle Landry started and went for 16-7. If you want points and rebounds and you know that Landry's starting, sure, add him. Hollis Thompson played 33 minutes, 14 points with four triples. I imagine that Thompson moves back to the bench in the next game so that Bob Cove can start. Isaiah Cannon, another three triples, continues to be an awesome three-point stream guy. Jeremy Grant, 7-3-3 with two steals. He is not a must-own guy because of the way that he hurts your percentages, and he's just not that good. I think he is an overrated player in my mind, but yeah, he still can have value. Well, Ish Smith was 1-9 for 5 points. Did have 7 rebounds and 8 assists, but though he's a percentage killer as well. Sauce Castillo played 21 minutes, went 5-4-3 with a steal and a block, but his opportunity to shine is probably over now that Bob Cove is back. And TJ McConnell with a surprise 17-3-5 with two steals off the bench. If for some reason you own him, fantastic. It'd want to be pretty deep because I'm just not anticipating that happening again. The Nuggets. Was there a crazier game winner ever? Maybe ever, but Moutier's game winner today, where he dribbled down the court, bounced it off his leg, picked it up, faded to the left, and hit almost a half-court shot to beat the Sixers by one, is as crazy as I've seen in a long time. 27-11-4 for Moutier, three triples, a block. He'd been really quiet for about the last week or so. That is a big timeline for Moutier. But like we talked about with Lord Alfred earlier on, the percentages can be an issue. He has really calmed his turnovers down, so if you care about that, that's not an issue. Nikola Jokic, 27 minutes, 18-8-5 with a steal. There was no Ken Fareed in this one, so Darrell Arthur got a start, 11-7 with two steals and two blocks. He is a great stream option to me. I know that whenever I say that, he puts up a real turd, but he does have the ability to put up big fantasy lines. Yusuf Nurkic, just a permanent monster. 16 minutes, 5-5 with two steals and four blocks, but did have an issue with his knee that had caused him to leave the game, which is a concern. He's not an add in 12s at this point. But it's just great to know that he can still put up numbers. Like 16 minutes, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 blocks is massive for Nurkic. Gaz Harris, I think I tweeted out today or I retweeted someone that said he's scored in double digits in 15 straight games. He's pretty good, Gaz. 18 and 5, not much else, but perfect from the free throw line. He's an awesome free throw shooter. 36 minutes, and they love him at shooting guard. I tell you who they don't love? Will Barton, and fair enough. 26 minutes for Barton, 2, 4, and 3. This is what Barton will do. And I talked about it yesterday when he went 9 of 12 for 25 points, that he's just not going to be that guy who shoots like that moving forward. It's just, he just isn't. He's not good. And I felt like I was insane at the start of the year when he was putting up these numbers. He's just not good. DJ Augustine, a little bit of a quieter night with Moutier playing massive minutes, but he still played 26 minutes, so they played next to each other a lot. 9 points only for Augustine, but 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals means he still has value, and he is still not necessarily a must-hold guy, but not someone I'd be quickly giving up on. Jakar Sampson was back for the revenge game, lucky. 9 points in 17 minutes, while Axel Toupin had 3 points in his 15 minutes. I love the fact that Joffrey Laverne played just 4 minutes, because I do like Laverne. Sorry, why am I calling him Laverne? Lavernier. I do like him, but he's clearly inferior to Jokic and Nurkic and really shouldn't have ever been getting minutes over those two, which he was at the start of the season and was not nice. Fareed is going to continue to miss time, I'm pretty sure, down the stretch here with this back issue. Couple of questions coming in. Joseph Diefenbach. Who is the better horrible percentages point guard going forward, Lord Alfred or Moutier? Good question. If I would, I think it's Moutier because I trust his role more than I trust Skiles and Alfred. Now, Alfred's played 30 minutes the last 2 games, which is obviously good, but Scott Skiles, man, like, if you can trust him, then you've got some pretty, you're pretty trusting because I can't, clearly. I would have Moutier if I'm not concerned about percentages, I would take Moutier here. Because at least he can hit a 3. Payton, not so much. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. I do like Payton though, but yeah, I like Moutier just a little bit more for the rest of this season. Where are we? I'm really loving the live interaction, guys. So if you are watching live, keep it up. The next game, the Dallas Mavericks and the Portland Trailblazers. The Mavericks, with Chandler Parsons out, they started Salah Mejri. He played 30 minutes and went 14-12, a steal and a block. I think you got to add him. It might last not even one more game, but that's 2 games in a row without Parsons, and he's played 30 minutes in both, and he's put up double-doubles in both, and he blocked shots, and I think you got to add him. Again, it might not last, but I think you got to make that move. And just assuming you need big man stats, if you're just completely punting big man stats, then what's the point? If you don't need rebounds, you don't need blocks. And again, like I talked about earlier, what's the point? But if he fits what you need, then this could be a guy who is a double-double blocks high percentage guy down the stretch. And it could be really important. Wes Matthews, if he's available, you're adding him as well. Now, I don't expect him to hit 6 triples every night and go 8 of 15 from the field because it wasn't Chandler Parsons that's making him shit. It's been his Achilles. But he's going to get more shots, and he'll play a little bit of a different role, and maybe he just works it out better without Parsons there. He won't be this good, though. 22 and 5 with 2 steals, a block, and 6 triples, this is not what he'll do. But if he's only owned in 69% of leagues, so he might be available in your league. He is someone I'd look at. Ray Felton, not so good. Only 20 minutes, 2 points with a steal. He'll play more than that, and he's played almost 30 minutes a game in most games with Parsons out this season. JJ Barea, 14-2-5. It might sound stupid, but he played 25 minutes. He's a mid-20s guy. He's a 14-team guy. I'm adding him. And even in a 12-team league, I want assists. I can get 4 or 5 of them from Barea, and that's not a bad move. Darren Williams played 39 minutes. 12 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists. Nice numbers from him. Well, Devin Harris had 11 points with a couple of steals. The David Lee is the late season Will Barton. Just pulling out numbers that are completely unbelievable. It's finished, thankfully. It might bounce back, but it's finished. 13 minutes for Lee, 4 and 5. Yeah, you can... the 60% of people who own David Lee, you can probably move on. Because, Look, he'll go out and play 25 in the next game, but his defense is that deplorable, and he's just not the guy that he was for those first few games. It was as big as an illusion as I've seen in the NBA in recent years, and it has dropped off. Thought Charlie Villanueva would get a little bit more time, but only 9 minutes, which is awesome because I love Mejri getting out there. And Justin Anderson, only 5 minutes? I'd want to see him get a little bit more playing time. On to the Blazers. Big win for the Blazers. Dame Lillard, 27, 6-6. A steal, 2 blocks, 4 triples. He's good. Ed Davis is also good. He just doesn't get the playing time. 21 minutes for Davis. Went 16-9 with 3 steals. He is a great boards, blocks, and field goal percentage stream player. Mason Plumlee, 10-8 with 3 steals and 2 blocks. I know that he is a must-own player whilst Myers Leonard is out. He's playing minutes 25-plus pretty much every game, and he's looking really good. Al-Farouq Aminu actually looked good in this one too. 10-10, he had 2 steals, he had 2 blocks, but I don't trust him as a must-own player. While Mo Harkless, finally they moved Noel Vonleh out of the starting lineup, but only took about 60 games. And shockingly enough, and this is what always pisses me off, is that they'll start a guy and they'll play him 10 minutes or 15 minutes a game, and they go, you know, he's just in there for balance or whatever, and then they move him out of the starting lineup and he plays nothing. It's because he's shit and he can't get playing time. Now, Vonleh might develop into something. PJ Hairston's one of those players that in Charlotte, yeah, he's going to start, he'll start. One game will change the starting lineup, he doesn't play at all. It makes no sense to me why start a guy, play him 15 minutes, and then if they're out of the starting lineup, they don't play at all. Vonleh's terrible. He's been stealing those 15 minutes off players who are more deserving. Mo Harkless played 25. He got the start, went 14-4 with a steal and a block. I am watching Mo Harkless in a 16-team league. I'm adding him in a 14-team league. I'm really interested here. Jared Henderson had 10 points. Alan Crabb had 6 in his 21 minutes. You know, if I've got a choice between Henderson, Crabb, and Harkless, I'm adding Harkless at this point in those deeper formats. A couple of more questions came through here. Nicholas Kwan, I'm chasing points and percentages this week. Who is better, Mejri, Miles Turner, or Mike Beasley? Well, Turner's got probably the more consistent role. I would look to him. I'll put Turner first, Mejri, and then Beasley as the third option because 2 games in a row, the minutes are way down. Yes, he's probably going to score more there, but let's look at their schedules, actually. Dallas, where are they? 2 more games for Dallas. Yep, and they play on Sunday, so that's good. Indiana, they have they got a great back-to-back. They got 3 more games, so it's Turner to me, easy there. And they play New Orleans, Brooklyn, and Houston on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. It is easy Turner for me this week. That is as good a schedule as you can get. And who's the other one? Houston with Beasley. They got 2 games left, Friday and Sunday. No, it's easy Turner, Nicholas. So thank you for that question. And Danny chimes in, which one of these teams do you see to be closest to a championship in 5 years? The Pistons, the Kings, the Celtics, the Pelicans, and the Jazz. Closest to a championship in 5 years. The Kings, forget about it. Celtics or the Jazz is where I bring it down to. I would say I have it as the Celtics just because of these draft picks this year. This could turn into it. Look, it depends where the Brooklyn pick lands. They get Simmons, they get Ingram with 1 or 2, then things change a real lot for this team pretty quickly. So possibly I'd probably put the Celtics. Where are we at now? The next game. So many games to get through. Second last one, the Lakers and the Suns. Julius Randle with another big game, 19-15 with an assist and a steal. This is more likely from him. Big points, big rebounds, not much else, but good percentages, so he's obviously ownable at this point in the season. Brandon Bass, another 25 minutes, 10-3 with a steal and a block. A superb percentage big man, nice scoring, decent defensive numbers. He is worth it in a 14-team league. Kobe played 28 minutes, 17 points with 3 triples. He is going to kill your percentage or your field goal percentage, so beware of that if he's available. I love that Lou Williams played 20 minutes. No offense to Lou, but 20 minutes is fine. 11-2-5, and that enabled Jordan Clarkson to play 30. D'Angelo Russell to play 31. That's really what needs to happen. Marcelo Huertas didn't have an assist, but hit all 4 of his shots. He is an assist stream player this week. Not much else to really love here. D'Angelo Russell's all right. 14-2-3 with a steal and 2 blocks. Clarkson 13-3-2. They obviously should be owned at this point, but don't think that they're undroppable. Because if you need to get extra games in, you might have to move one of those guys on, and don't feel too bad about it. For the Suns, no Tyson Chandler, so John Lua started, the player that Earl Watson apparently hates, but now doesn't. 41 minutes for Lua, 22-14, 2 threes, a steal, a block. I don't imagine Chandler's out for very long. But as long as he's out, then Lua is a must-own player. Short-term, obviously. Devin Booker, 28, 3, and 7. A triple one. Big night from Booker. When his shot falls, that's fantastic. Mirza Tlevic hit 5 triples for 17 points. He'd been probably a little bit disappointing lately, but that's obviously a nice performance. Those 5 threes is what's carrying him. He is averaging over 2 triples a game. He's going to get you average close to that per week. So if that's what you're looking for, he can give it to you. He doesn't give you much else, though. Brandon Knight was great, actually. He had 25, 8, and 7, 2 threes, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. 5 of 8 from the line is not good, but he was 9 from 19 from the field. Just a massive line. But when you're playing the Lakers, it's a bit easy to do that. Alex Len, only 29 minutes. Foul trouble limited him, which I would have liked to have seen him play those 40 minutes that John Lua played with Chandler out. 10, 8, and 4, not a must-own player any longer. While PJ Tucker went 6, 13, and 6, and he is a real interesting guy to look at for boards, threes, and steals if you need those categories. Not as a must-own, though. The last game of the night was the Los Angeles Clippers and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors with a pretty easy victory in the end. Jeff Green, back from his concussion, 25 minutes, 13, 3, and 1, with 4 steals and a block. He is streamable, and that's it. DeAndre Jordan, 19 and 20, with a couple of blocks. A big night from him. And Chrissy Paul really struggled, 4 of 16, 13, 6, and 8. So still doing some other things, but not his best night. Paul Pierce started. Yep, that's great. Jamal Crawford had 12 points with 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block, and he provides nothing in those categories usually, so I'm not all that interested in adding Jamal Crawford. He can be a scoring guy, he can be a 3 stream, and that's really about it. JJ Redick, disappointing. And Luke Marmute, why is he playing? 8 minutes with 2 points, not a lot else to really talk about with this lineup, except Cole Aldrich, another 2 blocks. He is an absolute blocks animal at the moment, one of the best streaming blocks guys out there. He's owned in 1% of leagues. You can easily stream him in. I need a block, 2 blocks. I'm going to get it from Aldrich. I think he's averaging 1.7 over the last month. The Warriors, Steph was great. 33, 4, and 5. 3 steals and 4 triples, while Clay had 7 triples of his own, going 32, 4, and 3. Draymond, 12, 12, and 4. And Bogut was back, and he grabbed 10 rebounds and had 2 blocks with 4 assists. He is a nice stream blocks, assist for a big man, and rebound sort of player. Harrison Barnes, 11 and 6. That actually classifies as a good game for Barnes. 3 of 11 shooting in 37 minutes. But Barnes is really a guy that I think next season, even if he stays on the Warriors, I think that he's going to be much, much better than this year. Much. He's a guy that, while he's at this absolute nadir of his value, that I acquire in a dynasty league and try and get him for just really cheap, because I think he can be a lot better than this next season. Obviously, Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors. It's a completely different story. Barnes has to go, and he goes somewhere else. Then his value skyrockets. But I think that he can be a very, very interesting player next season. Sean Livingston, 11, 5, and 3 in 26 minutes. He hasn't played 26 minutes very often this season, so not sure we need to get too interested or too read too much into that sort of performance. All right, there was shitloads to get to there, so I'm going to take a quick break now, and then we're going to be back to preview the 5 games for DFS for Thursday.
I
guys. I am back, and I just looked at how long this podcast has been running, so I sincerely and humbly apologize for how long I've been waffling on about bullshit. We're at the over the 1 minute, 1 hour, 15 mark, so if you are still listening, it's probably a miracle, and thank you for sticking with the show, and thanks for those guys who are still watching live, because I can't believe I've been talking that long. But anyway, we've still got five games to cover for Thursday. Let's get stuck into those straight away. The Pelicans and the Pacers is the first one. The Pacers are favored by 13. The total is 207.5. Ryan Anderson has been ruled out already. Norris Cole is questionable. There is almost zero chance that Norris Cole plays in this game from everything that I've heard. Point guards. Tone Douglas is at 5,100. At the moment, you look at his projections on Basketball Monster, they don't look great. And someone brought this up in the comments today. Why is Babbitt's projection so low? Why is his minutes so low? It's because we didn't know if Anderson was playing. We didn't know if Cole was playing. At this moment, Anderson's out, and we've got Cole penciled in. But if you use our what-if scenarios and look at what happens when Cole is out, you'll see that Douglas's projection jumps a lot. Now, he's averaging 29 points in the last three games. He's averaging 31 across his last five, and at 5,100, I think you almost have to look at playing Tony Douglas. Georgie Hill, it's a nice matchup for him, 5,500. With a 29 average across his last three, he's been solid, but I'd rather spend 400 less and take Tone Douglas. Ty Lawson, no thanks. Norris Cole, 5,700. He's not playing, so I don't think we need to worry too much about him. Ah, sorry, one other guy, Timmy Frazier. I've just moved on then. Now, Timmy Frazier, if Cole is out, also comes into play. Now, he's averaging 23 across his last three, and at 3,800, that is interesting. You could go super cheap Pelicans point guard backcourt and have Douglas and Frazier there and spend, how much does that add up to? 8,900 on two guys. And you might get yourself 55 points. It's not much, but that'll enable you to go, you know, on two big name small forwards or go big at the center position. It's not without merit. Shooting guards. Drew Holiday is at 8,200, where you can add Drew in as a high price guy. He's averaging 42 over the last three. 8,200, it's pretty expensive, but he needs to get to 40 points. And the Pacers are a tough matchup, but with no one on this team really that's any good left at all, I have a fair bit of faith in Drew getting to 40 points here. So I think if you're spending up on shooting guard, one of the best options. Monte Ellis at 6,500. Don't love using him at 65. If he was at 6,000, I'd be all over it. That extra 500 bucks makes me not interested. Solomon Hill, Rod Stuckey, no one there much worth looking at. Small forwards, Lukey Babbitt, 3,800. There's a ton of value in this game, by the way. Babbitt dropped 29 in the last game. At 3,800, he just needs to get to 20, and he has got 25 written all over him here. He has been good when he's played minutes for most of this season, so get on him. Paulie George, 9,000. Will Alonzo G bother him? I'm going to say no, but last time Paul George played a team with no wing defenders, he was shit, and that was against Philadelphia. Now, I don't imagine that Paul George is that bad again, but he probably scares me off a little bit at 9,000 in cash. But if you've saved up money by taking Babbitt or Douglas or Frazier, then you can afford to go with him in a cash game. In a tournament, all over it. There's 50 points here for Paul George if he takes it, but there is a risk. Alonzo G, CJ Miles, they're not really all that intriguing. At power forward, Miles Turner at 5,000, who's going to guard him? He hasn't been spectacular, but to me, he's a really solid 25-point cash game guy, which is fine, and he can go for 30. Let's hope he gets to 30 minutes here, and that would be great, because then I think he goes for 30, 32 sort of fantasy points, which is tremendous value. I like him a lot here. Dante Cunningham will get minutes. He won't do much with them. Lavoie Allen won't get minutes, although if he would, he'd do a bit with them, but that's not happening. At center, Yan Mahinmi is at 5,000. It is a great matchup for Mahinmi. There is a massive risk with him with fouls. He is a tournament-only option, and even then, I'm not overly enamored. Umar Asik, I'm far from enamored with anything that Asik does, but at 3,900, he in his last two games, he's gone for 32 points and 21 points, both of those easily exceeding value, and the Pacers are giving up a lot of points to big men recently, to centers. So Asik at 3,900, he comes into play as, you know, you've got four Pelicans guys under 4,000. Douglas isn't under 4,000. Three under 4,000. Tim Frazier, Luke Babbitt, and Omar Asik that you can put in your lineup and then stack it with some other high price players, and I'd be pretty happy. There's a lot of fantasy value for as bad as this team's been. Just really want to see Alexis Ejinsa play more. Not Alexis. Alexi Ejinsa play. He's at minimum salary. He can be a 30-point guy, but really not trusting Alvin Gentry to do the right thing by him. the next game, the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks. The Bulls are favored by 4.5. They just played each other today. They're playing again tomorrow. The total here is 202.5 points at point guard. Jose Calderon at 3,800. If it was any normal team and any normal coach, you'd say there's no chance that Calderon plays 37 minutes again after playing 37 minutes the night before. But this is Kurt Rambis and the Knicks, so he probably goes for 44 in this one. He had 30 points. I don't trust that he goes for 30 again, but it's a great matchup against Rose. He's priced at 3,800, so all he needs to give you, if he gives you 24 points, we're talking 6x value, and that is not a crazy number for Calderon. Derrick Rose at 6,700 is still $700 too expensive. Nice game today, but gives you 31 points. Not quite where I need him to be. Aaron Brooks, Jerry and Grant. Grant, you know, I wouldn't sleep on Grant. I think that he is, if I've got multiple tournament lineups, I would put him in one. Shooting guards, Aaron Aflalo at 4,500. It's a good matchup. He had 31 today, but he is strictly tournaments only. Jim Butler, 8,300. Providing no confidence whatsoever. You feel a big game is going to come. So to me, he is definitely in the mix for tournaments, but I can't trust him in cash. Langston Galloway, no. Justin Holiday, no. And Sasha Vujicic, at minimum salary, he's starting, but he's also terrible. Hey, also with the Bulls, Tony Snell out of the rotation. So big win for Bulls fans there. Small forward, Mello is at 8,700. He only had 32 against the Bulls today. He's back at home. It's a really good matchup. I think that Mello is a really solid play at 8,700. Now, you could realistically fit Mello and Paul George, say, into your lineups, 9,087, and you put guys like Omer Asik and Tim Frazier and those sort of players in a lineup, and that could work out for you. I think Mello's got 40-point potential here. Mike Dunleavy's doing nothing. Nikola Mirotic, 44 today, huge, 4,700. The odds of him doing it again are pretty low. But it is the same opponent. Does Fred Hoiberg go? Mirotic has got these guys figured out. Let's run him out there. He has merit to be used, but do I trust him? Absolutely not. Doug McDermott, no. Power forwards. Taj Gibson struggled. My page just completely blew up on me then, so I don't know what happened there. Let's bring it back up. The joys of live shows. When things go wrong, I can't just pause it. Bring that back up for me there. Sorry, guys. Talk amongst yourselves. What were we looking at? Power forwards for the Bulls. That's right. Almost back in business. Hate when stuff like that happens. All right, we're back. I should have just played that soundbite the whole time while we're waiting. 5,900. For Kristaps. I talked about it yesterday that it was hard to trust him, but it was such a good matchup. Well, maybe we do trust him now. He's averaging 32 minutes across his last five. Rambis is going with him more and more. If there's something that's working, they trust Rambis to do it wrong. So Porzingis might not play in this game, but at 5,900, he's got to get to 30 points. I'm pretty happy with him doing that against the Bulls. Derek Williams at 3,700. Yeah, probably not. Taj at 5,500. It does not appeal to me, nor does Bob Portis. At center, I like Robin Lopez here. The Bulls have been great for centers to go up against this year. He already dropped 39 today. He's at 6,000, but I have a fair amount of confidence that he gets to 30. He's averaging 31 across the last five. He's averaging 39 across the last three. He's been running to the ground, and that's fine for us for DFS. 9,400 for Pau Gasol. No thanks, not on a minutes limit. Cleveland and Brooklyn is the next game we're going to look at. The Cavs are favored by 8. The total is 208 points. Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love all had big games today, but they're taking on the Nets. There is a chance that they play 27 minutes apiece. That makes them very, very risky options. The Nets have made a change to their starting lineup. Now, you've listened to this podcast this season, you know that I have been very much on the Shane Larkin is a better player than Donald Sloan bandwagon. It has fallen on deaf ears until now. Larkin is starting over Don Sloan. Does that mean he plays 30 minutes? Probably not. Does it mean he's an ad in 12-team leagues? Also, probably not. Does it mean at minimum salary you can punt him in a tournament? Absolutely, because he can go for 30. At minimum salary, he could be a game changer. In cash games, I'm really not trusting it, but let's just look out for him. Sloan, no chance anymore. Dellavedova, no. Kyrie's the interesting one. 7,000, he dropped 38 today. I envisage him playing 27 minutes on a back-to-back. We don't have him projected at that at the moment. This is just my gut feeling that they might really limit him, and it's definitely a scenario that's in play, that they play him much less minutes. So he is a fade to me. Shooting guards, J.R. Smith, as always, is a tournament option. He's at 4,300. He's got a pretty solid run at the moment, but really not enough to trust. It's a great matchup. Iman Shumpert, no. Sean Kilpatrick's at 3,900. Dropped 31 in the last game. Probably not going to do that again. But with a 22 average across his last five, I could feel okay about using him if I'm looking for a cheap shooting guard. But they are going to be starting Sergei Karasev. They're going to move Wayne Ellington to the bench and really limit his minutes. He should have been limited 4 months ago. Hopefully that means he's completely out of the rotation and it's Kilpatrick, it's Karasev, and it's Markel Brown, and even Boyan Bogdanovic at the two some as well. So Kilpatrick's going to have some playing time, but Karasev's the guy to watch. Last time he started, he played 31 minutes and put up a pretty decent line. So that might not mean that Kilpatrick gets a huge run. LeBron, 9,900. You look at this and go, oh, LeBron, the Nets, it's a great matchup. But what if he plays 29 minutes? That's a concern. He's at 9,900. He got 49 points today, which is great. And do you think he can go for 49 again? Well, I do, but I don't put much trust in it in this matchup because it could be a blowout. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 3,900. Not at the moment. Bojan Bogdanovic at 52. Not against the Cavs, but he's got some upside. Sergei Karasev, 3,500. Sneaky revenge game for Karasev. I would put Karasev into a tournament. Now, he did have a 24-point game the last time he started in those 32 minutes. I would throw him in. And if he gets 24 points at 3,500, you are very, very happy with that sort of performance. And I don't imagine his ownership will be very high at all. Power forwards. Kevin Love, 6,400. Put him in the same boat as Kyrie and LeBron. Not sure he plays a full allotment of minutes here. And even then, he hasn't been all that reliable. Tristan Thompson at 4,600. He has also not been reliable. But this is a good spot for him. So he is a tournament punt. Thad Young at 77. This is a horrible matchup for him. Channing Frye, Tom Robinson, Willie Reed. Not much interest in those guys for me. Center, Brookie Lopez. Now, the Cavs are really, really tough to go against for opposition big men. He is at 8,100. He had 46 in his last game, but this matchup is a concern. But if you've saved up money in other areas, you can definitely consider Brook Lopez because he should be a 35-point guy. He might get to 40, but it's not a great matchup. Tim Mozgov, probably not. The Jazz and the Thunder. The Thunder are favored by 10. The total is a whopping, and I say that term very, very sarcastically, 198. So not ideal here. At point guard, Shelvin Mack, 6,300. It is too expensive. Yes, I know he's going against Russell Westbrook, and that really kicks up opposition point guards, but at 6,300, he is too expensive. Westbrook at 10,800. He's averaging 51 across his last three. He's really firing up triple-doubles left, right, and center. But the Jazz pace, the Jazz defense means do I expect him to get 55? I probably don't, and I'm not sure I want to use Westbrook here. Payne, Neto, and Burke, clearly not factors. Shooting guards, Rod Hood at 5,300 has been doing nothing lately. He's been playing minutes. That's what he's been doing. He's averaging 37 of them over the last three, but 20 fantasy points. He is a tournament option literally only. Randy Foy, come on. Andre Robertson, no. Dion Wade has dropped 28 in 37 at 3,700 in the last game in 25 minutes. Not against the Jazz. It's not happening for me. Small forwards, Gordo Hayward. He's in play here at 6,700. That's not an expensive price for Gordo. 35 points is not tough for him to get. It's a relatively good matchup for him also, so I like it. KD, 10,500, only 33 in the last game. A real horrible matchup, but he is relatively matchup proof, so I don't hate using KD at 10,500. I would rather use KD than Westbrook and even LeBron to a degree, even though I'm spending an extra 600 on KD than LeBron. At least they're playing a team who is better than the Nets. Joe Ingles and Kyle Singler, not much to really say about those guys with everyone at full health. Derek Favors at 7,300. I feel pretty good about Derek Favors getting you close to 35 points on most nights. So he's definitely in play guy. Serge Ibaka at 52. If it was anyone apart from the Jazz, I'd be really keen on using him at 52. He dropped 31 in the last one, which is definitely exceeding that value. But we know the Jazz can really stymie opposition big men. So Ibaka gets funneled into a tournament-only category. Trevor Booker, Trey Lyles, Nick Collison, Mitch McGarry. They'd need a fair bit of things to go either right or wrong for those guys to be an influence. Enes Kanter's at 5,400, and that feels like exactly the right price, meaning you don't think there's much value there. He's averaging 24 across his last three, 28 across his last five, and that's sort of where he needs to get to, but it's against his former team. Now, he might have extra motivation against his former team, But it's fair to say that his former team hates him, and they are going to go out of their way to make sure that he doesn't do anything. So that is not a good revenge game spot. Rudy Gobert, 6,200. He's providing absolute nothing at the moment, so no. Steve Adams at 4,500. Not the matchup to use him. The last game of the night, the Portland Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers are favored by 5 points here after being beaten by the Warriors. The total is 214. I think that means the Clippers have lost three in a row now, so that's not ideal. Chris Paul, 9,900. He only had 31 against the Warriors. He was beaten comprehensively by Steph. I think that Chris Paul comes out and is pissed, and it's a great matchup against Lillard. It is a perfect matchup for him here. 50 points should be really what Paul is looking at here. I do like him. Dame Lillard at 89, I don't hate him, but Chris Paul's a pretty good defender, and he does reduce opposition point guards, but I feel really confident about Lillard getting 40 points, and that's usable. Austin Rivers had 24 today in 35 minutes, but some of that's a factor of Paul being limited, so I'm not sure I'm going to be investing heavily in Austin Rivers. Shooting guards, JJ Redick at 49, he struggled today, but when you got the matchup now of CJ McCollum, that's an opportunity for him to drop a 30, so I think that he's worth looking at. McCollum at 6,900, it's a terrible matchup, but Klay Thompson really succeeded today against Redick, so it can be done. McCollum is not in the Thompson class, and his form of late at 32 average across his last five has not been ideal, but it's also not horrible, so he is in play. Jamal Crawford is a punt. Gerald Henderson, Alan Crabb, they're not interesting. Small forwards, the Clippers guys, no thanks. Wes Johnson, Jeff Green, Paul Pierce, Luke Marmute. It's the Blazers guys. Mo Harkless at 3,500 had 26 points today. If we hear that Harkless is starting, he is in play. He is definitely a filler option at that salary. And Al-Farouq Aminu at 4,700, he's been okay lately, a big game today, but are not really going to be trusting him at that salary. If he was down at 4,000, more interest there. Power forwards, Eddie Davis, 4,000 for Eddie. He's averaging 28 across his last three. He's averaging 23 across his last five. He is not a bad play if you're looking for a cheap power forward. I think that he is actually pretty decent. Noel Vonleh is far from that, and the rest of the power forwards in this game they're not worth me mentioning. Centers. Mace Plumlee's at 5,200. He's averaging 29 across his last five, 32 across his last three, almost a lock to be plugged in, while DeAndre Jordan at 8,100 had a massive 52-pointer today against the Warriors. You feel okay about him getting 35 plus on most nights. Can he get to 40? That's not a bad option. So I think if you're going to spend up on a center, he is one of the better ones that are out there. Let's have a look now at my DFS picks of the day. Point guard, Jose Calderon, 38. Tone Douglas, 51. And Chris Paul, 99. At shooting guard, JJ Redick, 4,900. I don't really like any of the mid-range guys. I could put CJ McCollum in there, but I'm not a massive fan. Drew Holiday at 82. Small forwards, Lukey Babbitt, 38, Gordie Hayward, 67, and LeBron James, 99. Power forwards, Miles Turner, 5,000. Kristaps
Porzingis
at 5,900. And no high-priced power forward is really in play on Thursday. At center, Omer Asik, 39. Rob Lopez, 6,000. You could also have Mason Plumlee there. And DeAndre Jordan at 8,100. We are done today, guys. I do apologize for the length of this show. Play it on a 2x speed, 1.5 times speed. Get the podcast through a lot quicker. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Facebook is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. And Instagram is at redrock_bball as well. Check out Basketball Monster's Twitter account at BaskMonster for all the up-to-date news and injury news and lineup news as it happens. And of course, Hardwood Paroxysm, all the great podcasts over there. Check out the stuff that Jared Dubin and Seth Partnow are doing on Quo Vadimus. A lot of interesting stuff that those guys talk about when they do it once or twice a week. Lots of great podcasts, and as well as the, if you're a fan of NBA history, the Over and Back podcast doing their Bill Russell special at the moment, the Russell Mania series of podcasts. Make sure you're checking those out as well. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.